Blog Talk Radio.
Today, as well as events. The guy who discovered chromium and beryllium, Louis Nicholas Vauquelin, born on this day, the great German poet, Gustav Mahler, the Austrian or Czech Jewish composer conductor, set Frederick Ruckert's poems to music. And then we had William Seward in 1801, the guy who was Secretary of State, almost assassinated during the successful assassination of Abraham Lincoln at the end of the Civil War. Seward was injured, but he lived on and became was Secretary of State in the Andrew Johnson administration. And Seward had the foresight to buy Alaska. What a bargain it was. And, of course, we have a San Francisco connection. Of the Bedisco family, I was involved in the negotiations to purchase Alaska. This is a family which has served San Francisco as both in the district attorney's office, police department, and in real estate. The guy was the 22nd vice president of the United States and would have been president, Levi P. Morton. He was offered the vice presidential spot in the when James Garfield ran for president and was successfully elected. Garfield was one of those Civil War generals. There were at least three of them who were in the Civil War and several officers. It was Garfield. There was Grant, of course, and then McKinley had served, also U.S. Supreme Court Associate Justice. Was a Civil War Union veteran. These are all Union veterans, by the way. Only one Civil War Confederate got a major federal position. Oh, I hate this. That was Edward White, who was a Catholic from Louisiana, who was a U.S. Supreme Court Chief Justice. But we had Garfield. Morton declined the vice presidential spot, and of course, when Garfield was assassinated, had Morton been the VP, he would have been president. Instead, Levi P. Morton accepted the vice presidential spot on the Benjamin Harrison Republican ticket. Harrison was in the interregnum between Grover Cleveland's two administrations. Benjamin Harrison's father was William Harrison, who was the shortest-lived president and the guy who defeated Tecumseh, Tippecanoe, and Tyler too. He served about 35 or 40 days, caught pneumonia, giving the longest inauguration speech in American history. And Benjamin P. Harrison became president. He was opposed to patronage, and also he was opposed. He was a kind of an animal rights president. I did write a book on this, and it's being revised again. And we will be continuing with our excerpts from that, called "The Political Animal" or "Political Animal." And Levi P. Morton didn't go to law school, didn't study law. In fact, you didn't have to go to law school to be a lawyer in the early part of this the history of this country. And Levi P. Morton, instead of accepting Garfield's offer to be the VP, vice president, he accepted instead. He wanted to be minister or ambassador to France, where he served and was very popular. And he tried to run for president to get the nomination for the Republican Party, but he didn't. And he died. He was a dabbler, not a dabbler, but an investor in real estate. And he, today in Illinois, the town or the suburb of Morton Grove, Illinois, is named after him because he had something to do with the laying out of the streets. So it's very interesting. You don't always, you may pass up opportunities that would catapult you to the top. Among the other birthdays today, we had David Edward Hughes. He's the guy who invented the microphone and the teleprompter. And the microphone is what I'm using right now to broadcast on this program. In 1832, one of the meat packers, Philip Danford Armour, was born, and then there were the great meat packers that operated out of the Chicago stockyards. They were Armour, they were Gustavus B. Swift, and of course the Hormel family. And I think Armour and Hormel were originally from France. And of course we have the controversies today with James Hormel, who was a big homosexual activist and was involved in the Steve Nery case, buying the house of one of the judges who couldn't sell the house. And we have the real estate documents on that. And he, of course, is on the board of the Commonwealth Club and also on the board of KQED and on the board of the San Francisco Symphony. And, of course, we're seeing a lot of Spam, which is the product that made the Hormel family famous. There seems to be a lot of it advertised suddenly on major news programs, TV stations here in the United States, as well as at Costco. They're just, I don't know what's going on, but there can't be that many pigs around or that many pigs that were slaughtered to make Spam. Among the other, and of course, the famous book called The Jungle, about the horrible practices of these meat packers, Armour, Swift, and Hormel. And in fact, during the American Civil War, they were slaughtering horses, and not only slaughtering horses, but selling defective meat to the Union Army. And Lincoln, this is where we got the Quitam Law in the administration of Abraham Lincoln, which is where a citizen discovers who is swindling the government, stealing money, or shortchanging the government on product services and delivering those services, that citizen can bring this to the attention of the United States, of the Attorney General of the United States, or the local U.S. attorney. It has to be done under seal, and within 30 days, the government has to decide whether they're going to take the information and pursue the case on their own, on the government's sole behalf, or, and then they split, I think it's about 30% of any money that's recovered is given to the as a reward to the whistleblower. Or if the whistleblower decides to pursue the case on his own, he has to get a qualified lawyer, and this is the only case that requires a lawyer in good standing to pursue a quitam action on behalf of the government and of the United States. It's something that's not known. Also on this date, and of course, if you want to know about the meatpacking practices, that some of them are still done today. read Sinclair Lewis's book, The Jungle. Also on this day, one of the great Austrian Jewish singers was born. Richard Tauber had a magnificent voice. Another great singer, Lily Pons, was born today. And, of course, the Fonda family. Henry Fonda was born, I think, in Omaha, Nebraska. And I just want to play a clip because he's played these various roles as senator or as this liberal with a conscience. And this is relevant to what he was talking about in the movie The Best Man, and it was some dirt. He had some dirt. He liked to sleep around, and of course his opponent, Cantwell, that's the role that was played by Cliff Richardson, had a homosexual episode in his background, and he was trying to blackmail another senator who wouldn't support him, and this is very relevant to what goes on, what should be brought up, and it's coming up today with Mr. O and his whole gay agenda, crotch politics. But I'll play these two clips. So I think it's very relevant that politicians should realize what they're involved in, and power is not a toy.
Now, I am here to tell you this, that power is not a toy that we give to good children. It's a weapon. And the strong man takes it and he uses it. And if you don't go down there and beat Joe Cantwell to the floor with this very dirty stick, then you've got no business in this big league. Because if you don't fight, this job is not for you. And it never will be.
And this is true about a lot of people who want to be statesmen and politicians. Now, Fonda objects. He has these qualms, and here's this is coming. These are excerpts from the movie The Best Man, written by Gore Vidal.
This is exactly the sort of thing I wanted the politics to stop. All the business of gossip instead of issues, personalities instead of policies. We've got enough on Cantwell's public life to defeat him without going into his private life, which is nobody's business.
Any more than yours is.
Any more than mine is.
Cantwell is using your private life.
All the more reason I don't use his. I'm not Cantwell.
Well, no one's used anything yet. Jensen, see if you can arrange a meeting where nobody can see them. Go on.
Now, this movie has come back on Broadway as a play starring, I think, James Earl Jones, who's I think plays the president. Great actor, great voice. He's played many roles, and he's one of the great actors in the pantheon of actors that work in Hollywood and on the stage. And, of course, he has a great voice. But I think a lot of this is relevant, and it's going to come up. One of the things that we were talking about, 10 years ago I interviewed the great mayor, late mayor and ambassador, George Christopher, personal friend of mine also, who supported our public corruption exposure activities. And he got into the Clintons, who he despised. He would never, whenever they came to town, they would come to the Fairmont, and he lived across the street from the Fairmont. And every president that came, he came down from his apartment and paid his respects to say hello. In fact, Harry Truman lost his luggage once, and he had to borrow some clothes from George Christopher. It's an interesting story. It's the first time George Christopher said that a Republican ever gave his shirt off his back to a Democrat. He had a great sense of humor, and he admired Harry Truman, although he did make a big mistake by appointing one of Harry Truman's recommendations as the redevelopment director of San Francisco. That was the Herman. We won't get in. Justin Herman was a racist. But that was one of his mistakes. Politicians and statesmen all make mistakes, and the good ones learn from it. But anyway, he thought that the Clintons had no scruples, and he referred to the sexual proclivities of the Clintons. But he thought that Bill Bradley, who was then a senator in the U.S. Senate and also governor, he saw him as a moderate Democrat, and George Christopher was a moderate Republican. He thought he should be the presidential nominee in the next election. And now we are hearing that Bill Bradley may be throwing his basketball in the ring. Remember, he was a basketball player also. He might also was, an I think, a Rhodes Scholar and went to Oxford. The word is from some of our sources of political cognoscenti that the Democrats are going to be looking for an alternative to Mr. O. They don't want to be dragged down on election day with him. They see this coming because of this crotch politics. We have precedents. We've seen what happened with Levi Morton, that he was forced out as running mate for Benjamin Harrison, that these guys are not untouchable, they're not infallible, and they're not indestructible or unapproachable. And, of course, we saw what happened, those of us who remember the Vietnam War and LBJ, that he was forced out, that a lot of Democrats would not support him because, as he was referred to as Uncle Cornpone, that they did not support the continuation of the Vietnam War, which incidentally started under Harry Truman. The first advisors, there was something like 100 military advisors that went to assist the French to defeat the Viet Minh, as they were called at that time, later renamed as Viet Cong. And this policy was continued under Eisenhower, very limited, and also under JFK. And we understand now that John F. Kennedy's surviving child, Caroline Kennedy, has referred to Obama as a liar, and she's really pissed off at him, not only for disrespect, but also she sees him as in the same light as other people see him, that they don't trust him, and they feel that he's a congenital liar. And, you know, when the Kennedys get mad at you for something, you better pay attention. Anyway, of course, we have the example of Levi P. Morton, and nobody is untouchable in politics. Among the other birthdays today, so it could very well be that we see a floor fight at the Democratic Convention in Charlotte, which also they talk about San Francisco as the Queen City of California. Charlotte has become known as the Queen City of North Carolina. This is going to be a very interesting Democratic Convention when it's held this summer in Charlotte. Among the other birthdays today, we have, of course, we just played Henry Fonda as the great actor, and of course the Fonda family. Peter Fonda was only in one movie, that was Easy Rider, and then of course there was the daughter, Jane, who was in several movies, and also was married to the guy that started CNN, Ted Turner. Great jazz pianist, a dance band, swing band, Woody Herman's born today. And, of course, Liberace. Now, this was his birth name, Valuzzo Valentino. And, of course, he changed it to Liberace, and he was gay and, of course, quite a bit of a screamer, as some people say. And then Harry Carey Jr., an actor. He was in the movie She Wore a Yellow Ribbon. That was about General Custer, and the John Wayne played the star role in that movie involving the Little Bighorn and the defeat of the Union federal forces at Little Bighorn. I had visited there in the evening, and I walked those in the battlefield there, and I could swear that I heard the moans of the dying. I was also at Verdun, and it was a very similar experience. I was also there at night when I did my European trip. Among the other birthdays, we've got talking about death. We have an undertaker who is a U.S. Congressman, John Conyers, Jr., born today, and he is from Detroit. And then Lowell Weicker, who was a moderate Republican, was a senator and governor of Connecticut. And I think his family wealth came from Richardson Merrill, the makers of Vicks. I don't think that's one of my mistakes. One of the successors to the role of 007, Pierce Brosnan, born 1952 in Ireland. And Deborah Winger, who was swinging with Kerry, the governor of Nebraska, who's running for senator again. She was one of his girlfriends. Among the deaths today, this is a very interesting one. There's something that's not well known. Jacob Leisner, he was the first American colonist to be hanged for treason. And this was in 1691. This was before 1776. Now, what's interesting about this guy, he was a German-American captain and a merchant and a captain in militia. He revolted against the policies of James II, who was one of the Stuart kings of England. And he ruled the part of upstate New York from 1689 to 1901. The British captured him. He was arrested, tried, and hung. But I never heard of him before in American history, and being a student, it's quite a surprise. The guy who painted the longest canvas in history, John Banvard, 3 miles long. I don't know what this canvas is about, but he was born on this day. Great German soprano, Wagnerian soprano, Lily Lehman, not born, he died on this day. Irwin Shaw, who wrote all the trashy Hollywood books and movies, died. And then you remember the Wicked Witch in The Wizard of Oz, Margaret Hamilton? 1985 she died, and she won't be croaking anymore. The guy who started the Muppets, Jim Henson, died of pneumonia. Sammy Davis Jr. died of cancer. And this is a mystery even to this day. Some say he was assassinated. The chief of the naval operations, Admiral Mike Jerry Borda, supposedly committed suicide on the doorstep of his house. Among the events today, Sir Thomas More resigned from chancellor, and he kept his mouth shut about Henry VIII's divorce and marriage to Anne Boleyn. She lost her head, too. Both of these people lost their head. Mary, Queen of Scots, who also lost her head, she fled to England in 1568. Big mistake. Denmark apparently was the first country to abolish slave trade, 1792. I didn't even know they were involved in the slave trade. And then food stamps, turns out, was not a new thing from the LBJ administration. In 1939, the first food stamps were issued by the FDR administration. 1966, talking about welfare, the Welfare Rights Society was set up on this day. And this has come up again. In 1988, the Surgeon General of the United States, Dr. Koop, K-O-O-P, I think he was a Dutch ancestry from Pennsylvania, he declared that nicotine was addictive as heroin. Now, this is interesting. We're talking about health on the German Vela TV. Last night or yesterday, they're talking about the German health system, which was probably the oldest in the Western world. It started under Otto von Bismarck, the first chancellor of the Second Reich in Germany under Kaiser Wilhelm, and he started unemployment insurance and health programs to pacify all of the lower class, which there was a lot of unrest in Europe at that time, threatening the royal houses, the Habsburgs, the French, and the Germans. Anyway, the Germans, there's one doctor that's talking about internet addiction, where people are spending so much time on the internet, there's less and less social interaction with their fellow human beings, and it's becoming a problem. And of course, again, they've discovered even in Germany, the males are spending most of their time on the internet looking for pornography or indulging in pornography. So this may become a health issue for this ongoing health controversy that's going on here in the United States about health insurance and what it will cover, and will it cover internet addiction. And then this is interesting. You better watch what you put in your garbage. In one of the decisions of SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States, they ruled that your trash could be searched without a warrant. So be careful what you put out there if you're doing something wrong, and stop it. And then in 1991, Queen Elizabeth II of England became the first monarch to address the U.S. Congress. Now, one of the things we're working on, and it's come up in the Steve Neri, Juan Pifre case, there's so many things there, is that the federal programs that have been hijacked by people who work in these very programs. And we have the notorious Mary Rogers program, Mary Rogers and the dollar a month house and the $500 a month for water bill. She apparently was wasting water in a house here in San Francisco, which her family turned into a crack house, which was busted by the San Francisco police. Now, there's video of myself and the director of the redevelopment agency, which supposedly owned this house, and Mary Rogers, and how she tried to bully an investigation or public hearing on these programs, as well as she physically attacked me, and I told her to remove her hands. But we'll be playing that audio because it's an example of what happens when government programs and graft and these bogus nonprofits embrace. And people need to know about this. Where is all the housing gone? Where's the money? Where's the accountability for the money with these programs? We had in another case where a corrupt associate district attorney had no authority, not only forged federal papers in the Steve Neri case, he also got $3,200 a month, Section 8, for one of his slum properties, which is allegedly a drug house. And how he got this from HUD remains a mystery, but it came up on NARA records. But this is some of the things that go on where you have these public employees who have hijacked the federal programs. And, of course, nothing is done about it so far because the politicians are supported by these various hijackers. one of the other things today, we're seeing more and more lavender being worn by people in the news or in the broadcast. And this is not only here in the United States. We've seen it in the British House of Parliament. We're seeing it on European media. And the question is lavender becoming the new power color? So when you see, you might see one guy with a lavender tie, you might see a woman with a lavender blouse or lavender dress, but it seems to be more and more of this, and it's a color that was not worn before. So what's going on, or is something going on? Also, we will be we're working on these interviews with Dr. Broderick. It's being edited, and he's the guy that's been exposing a lot of the so-called dangerous products in your pet food, because your pet is what he eats or he or she eats also. Not only does that apply to human beings, but your pet is what he eats. And when you see something, if you read the labels on some of this pet food kibble, you'll see something like chicken digest. Now, that could be beaks, feathers, talons, all kinds of offal. One of the things that Dr. Broderick brought up in an earlier interview was that when a chicken may have a tumor or something that's diseased, that's cut off the chicken. The chicken is cut up. A part of it may go into the soup or into chicken parts, that tray, and the tumor is going into pet food. And that may be one of the reasons why your dog or cat's getting sick. And, of course, canned pet food is mostly water and moisture. It's a big waste. Now, the other things, when you see the word digest, that could mean anything, and these pet food manufacturers are getting away with it. Also, there is this private labeling by this corporation in, I think, North Carolina called Diamond. And there has been a recall on several of their products, and we'll try to list them. If you go to Costco and you buy the Kirkland, you may have to return it because it's made by this outfit in North Carolina called the Diamond Company. They make a lot of so-called natural dog foods and cat foods, but they're privately labeled. They're carrying various, like Kirkland is one of them, which is Costco. So you got to be wary because, as you know, vet bills are very expensive, even if you have pet insurance. So we'll be back Friday, and hopefully we'll have some more interviews, and we'll have that Will Rogers a spiel on the bankers, which is very important now because we got this scandal with J.P. Morgan, and they're not the only ones. They're not the only ones. So we'll end with our usual politics and poker, and we'll be back Friday at 4 o'clock.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bets.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Okay, Tony, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Impulse.
A
possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
Well, we'll be back Friday at 4 o'clock. This is Peter Paul Brazola. Good night.